Hello, and welcome to Nightcap with Jim. I'm the titular Jim, and tonight we have a pretty diverse episode for you. We're going to be talking briefly about Billie Eilish, talking about some of the new TV shows that I've been watching that have come out this year that I'm into. We're going to be talking about some news that's broken this week in the entertainment industry, specifically get into the Sony-Marvel split and the Matrix 4 announcement. And then we will wrap up with a new segment I'm going to introduce that's going to be about underrated actors. Actors who are absolutely fantastic and you know, might see them everywhere, but you have no idea who they are and stuff like that. For more content you may enjoy, please check out our Morning Mangami podcast and our other social media at Mangami Players all across the different social medias. It's really cool. You're going to want to check it out. All right, let's get into it. All right, to start off, I wanted to talk briefly about Billie Eilish. If you don't know who she is, you're living under a rock. She's just been blowing up. She's an absolutely fantastic musician who has just been, just kind of came out of nowhere, at least for me. I didn't really know anything about her until earlier this year, specifically when the film Brightburn came out and her song Bad Guy was playing over the end credits, and I was like, I'm obsessed with this song, I need to find out who this is, found out who it was, and I'm just in love with her stuff. Like, she's absolutely fantastic, and she's a really cool, fun, weird, like, just eccentric person, and I love that. Like, I just love her whole vibe. It's awesome. So, some pretty exciting news. She is the very first artist born in the 2000s that has reached a number that has had a song that reached number one on the Billboard charts. So that's really exciting news, and I just love her stuff. Like, her first album, Where Do We Go When We Fall Asleep, absolutely fantastic. I do gravitate more towards the more popular songs, I guess you would say, because they have videos for them. Bad Guy and the other one. I'm blanking on the name of it now. Bury a Friend. I got it. I was almost gonna restart the segment and start this whole thing over, but no, I remembered. Bury a Friend. Bury a Friend and Bad Guy. I'm just obsessed with these two songs. They're so amazing and so fantastic, and the videos, I just love watching the music videos for these so much. Like, I've probably watched both of those videos and listened to the songs combined a total of in excess of 50 times, because they're just so damn good, you know. Absolutely fantastic stuff. And I can't wait to see what she does next, because it's gonna be great, you know what I mean? Like, it's gonna kill. And you know, she's been doing the rounds, you know, press junket tour wise and stuff like that, and she's had some really cool interviews. Like, she did the show Hot Ones with the chicken wing hot sauce challenge, and she had this really fun not really an interview, but it was like a challenge of her knowledge, because she professes herself to be a huge fan of The Office. So Rainn Wilson sat down with her and asked her a bunch of Office trivia questions, which is really cool. So I'd recommend checking both of those out as well. All right, that's going to do it for Billie Eilish. Billie Eilish, Rainn Wilson just got in my head there. So definitely check out her stuff. She's absolutely fantastic. We'll be back to talk about some more stuff. Stay tuned. Okay, so now I wanted to get into some news, some exciting news, and some really bummer, depressing news that broke this week. And we'll start with the downer news. Actually, no, we'll start with the good news. We'll start with the good news. Matrix 4 has been confirmed, is what they're saying. And they're saying that Keanu's back, Carrie Ann Moss is back, Lana Wachowski's back to direct, write, and produce. So pretty exciting stuff there. Matrix 4. I don't know how it's going to work, honestly. Because, I mean, we all know how the third Matrix movie ended, right? So I'm not exactly sure where they're going to go with this at all. But, I mean, I'm down for some more Matrix. Are you? There's an interesting theory that I heard from somebody a little while ago regarding the Matrix and Keanu, and the theory is that at the end of the Matrix 3, the machines put him back into the Matrix, but they completely rewrite the entire program again, and they make him into an assassin. And so the theory is that John Wick is Neo from the John Wick franchise. So they just put him back into the Matrix and they made him in, they, you know, rewrote his backstory. So now he's this super assassin that just takes out dudes. And that's why John Wick is able to literally kill everybody in those movies. Because it's the Matrix. So I thought that was a really fun and interesting theory, and that'd be really cool if they came out and said that, you know, that'd be just really fun. Okay, well, there's not a lot of details about it yet, so I've got really nothing to talk about other than Keanu's confirmed so far, Carrie Ann Moss and Lana Wachowski. Don't know where Lily Wachowski is, but we'll see what happens with that. Anyway, moving on to the downer, depressing, bummer news. Oh, boy. Marvel and Sony split and could not renegotiate the deal that allowed the MCU to have Spider-Man. Now, this is just breaking stuff. It just happened. So, and there wasn't another Spider-Man movie announced for quite a while. And as far as I know, Spider-Man didn't have any appearances in any of the other MCU movies planned for a minute, so we have time. All right, now when I say we have time, what I mean is us, the fans, have got to kick these two in the pants and get them to get their stuff together, get their acts together, so that we can have Spider-Man in the MCU, because Tom Holland is the best Spider-Man that has been, and the MCU stuff is just absolutely fantastic. So for Sony, and here's the thing, I'm not going to take sides, but for Sony to say, oh, we're going to take Tom Holland's Spider-Man and we're going to throw him into the Venomverse, you know what I mean, and then just like retcon out the MCU stuff, I think would be the greatest mistake they could possibly do with the best portrayal of one of the coolest, awesomest characters in comic book history. It would be a huge faux pas, to say the very least. To say the most, it would be bleep, 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 stupid. It would just be so dumb if they did that, you know? Like, it would be cool to see Tom Holland and Tom Hardy mixing it up, for sure. But it would be more interesting to see Venom come into the MCU. Now, the reason that these guys split on this is because Marvel wanted a 50-50 split of the profits instead of the 5% day one gross that they have with the deal. Now, what that means is that on opening day, they get 5% of the profit. And that has worked in the past for actors, to make a lot of money, like Leonardo DiCaprio. So instead of taking his usual pay check for Inception, he said, how about you just give me 5% of the day one gross? I'll take that instead. And Inception, as we know, was a huge hit. And so he got more money from that 5% day one gross than he would have if he had just taken his regular salary. Now, for a $1 billion company like Marvel Disney, that is chump change, you know what I mean? Especially when the film itself was so profitable, it became Sony's highest grossing film, well over something like 1.8 $1.18 billion, something like that. So when you think that Sony's getting the lion's share of that $1.18 billion of profit, and, you know, and Marvel being this huge thing, you expect both sides of reaction from Marvel, where it's like, this movie made a whole bunch of money and we had a lot to do with it, we want more money. And also, like, geez, Marvel, like, greedy much? I mean, literally, you know, I don't remember the exact amount that Captain Marvel made, but Captain Marvel made a buttload of money. And Endgame made $1 billion plus, well over $1 billion. So for Marvel to, like, complain about this arrangement and be like, we want more money, just seems greedy to me, I'll be quite honest. Yeah, I do believe that they should have a greater share of the profits than just a 5% day one gross deal. Absolutely, because they put a lot of time and effort into the MCU, and, you know, all that hard work deserves a little extra cheddar. You know what I'm saying? But for them to come to the table and be like, we want 50% and that's that, and not even be willing to negotiate and be like, well, how about you just give us like 10, 15, 20% of the entire profits instead of just the day one gross, and we can talk about that. That seems way more reasonable to me, because yeah, that's you're getting that more money, you know, instead of just the day one gross. So just do that, you know, like, just do a reasonable 10, 15, 20% of the entire profit margin, and that's going to be a lot more reasonable. Sony might actually go for that, you know, because here's the thing, Sony still owns the rights to Spider-Man. So if Sony's just like, nope, we're done, bro, then they're going to take Spider-Man and they're going to do whatever the hell they want with Spider-Man, and it's not going to have anything to do with the MCU. And now for Sony to do that, again, I think that's a really jerk thing to do. Because Sony knows damn well how much everybody loves Spider-Man and how much we love Tom Holland's Spider-Man. So for them to just, you know, take Tom Holland's Spider-Man and just throw him into whatever they want to do and, you know, just completely erase all of the MCU stuff, I honestly believe that there would... that MCU fans, Marvel fans in general, and Spider-Man fans would just... there would be an uprising, you know what I mean? And there would be riots outside of Sony headquarters and Marvel headquarters. Because it's both of these companies. Like, the thing is that you cannot take sides in this, because both companies are being completely unreasonable about what they want from, you know, in terms of money. You know, and Sony, I get it, you know, Spider-Man Far From Home is their highest grossing film they've ever made. So it's like, that's a big deal. And, you know, we're gonna go see the Spider-Man movies, probably, if Sony just makes them all by themselves. But without the MCU's backing, they're just not gonna be the same, you know? So I'm of the opinion that we just need to keep the conversation alive and come up with creative suggestions, because if these two dumb companies, because they're dumb right now, okay, because this is a stupid feud, if we just need to come up with something, we need to keep floating ideas, we need to keep nipping at their heels and just saying, guys, just work it out. We need Spider-Man in this MCU. He's absolutely amazing. Tom Holland's killing it. You cannot do this to us. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm thinking. Like, let's just keep on these two companies who are just making such a huge mistake right now and being so petty and stupid. Let's keep on them and make sure we get Tom Holland to stay in the MCU. All right. I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more. All right, now to talk about some of the new TV shows that have come out in the past few months that I've been really digging and getting into. And I'm not going to go too far into detail. I'm just going to very briefly go over each of them, because some of them I have not finished, and I obviously want to save and do a deep dive on them because they all deserve a lot more attention than I'm about to give them right here. So starting out, started watching a couple of Amazon shows, Amazon Prime Originals. First being Good Omens. Now, I may have mentioned this before, but I'm not a big fan of organized religion. I'm not going to get into that. And I am an atheist. So Good Omens would not seem like my kind of jam, but it's got David Tennant, so automatically I'm down. And then it's got, and then, just when you start watching a show, it's just crazy. It's so well made and well thought out, and it's funny and it's clever, and it's just a good show. It's just so good. I just love the idea of a demon and an angel, and over the course of 6,000 years, which according to the TV show, that's how long, like that is, like there was no Big Bang or anything like that. Like the universe was created 6,000 years ago by God, and that's that. And you have this great narration from Frances McDormand as the voice of God, which is great. But for for a demon and a angel to kind of have this interesting sort of arrangement that they have in the show where like they keep showing up in the same places year after year after year, and so they're just like, look, man, you go do your thing and I'll handle this stuff that they wanted us to do. I'll do a little good stuff, do a little bad stuff, and then next one's on you. And then coming to the point in the show where you meet them and it's like, oh, the apocalypse is about to happen, and neither one of them wants the apocalypse to come about, so it's an angel and a demon teaming up to stop the apocalypse. That is just such a cool concept and idea for a show, and I love it so much. I can't wait to see more of it. Can't wait to see where they go, because it's just going to be really cool. Another show I've been watching started Jack Ryan, Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan. Now, I have not gotten into my Tom Clancy fandom too much on here. But I love Tom Clancy. Like, he's one of my favorite authors of all time. And Jack Ryan is one of my favorite characters of all time. I absolutely love every iteration of him, even the Ben Affleck movie. Because, I mean, Jack Ryan's been portrayed by so many people over the years. Alec Baldwin did the first feature-length film version with Hunt for Red October. Then Harrison Ford took over with Patriot Games and Clear and Present Danger, both of which I love. Then oh God, then who was it? Then it was Ben Affleck's movie with the Sum of All Fears, which I think is pretty good. Then Chris Pine took a crack at it with Jack Ryan's Shadow Agent, which that was pretty cool. It kind of missed the mark. But it was still a fairly solid movie. And now we have the very wonderful John Krasinski playing Jack Ryan, and it's spectacular. It's just great. Like I've literally only gotten through like two and a half, maybe three episodes, but it is absolutely fantastic. It's one of my favorites. The reason I haven't gone further is because season two is coming out soon, and I'm just trying to hold myself back because I'm just so into the show that I just want to have that season two buffer so I can just binge a whole bunch more than I would have been able to. It's so good. I just love what they've done with the character, especially the character of Greer, who's a longtime compatriot of Jack Ryan's in the novels and throughout the film verse that we've had so far. So I just love what they're doing with the characters. It's spectacular and it's great and it's amazing and it's wonderful, and John Krasinski just kills it. Like, dude you know, I never would have, if you had said to me, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, probably like, yeah, like maybe 10 years ago, because I'm just trying to think of a time before he did 13 hours, Secret Soldiers of Benghazi. But if you had told me before Secret Soldiers of Benghazi that you were thinking, hey, let's get John Krasinski to play Jack Ryan, I'd have been like, I don't know about that. You know, because if you know the character of Jack Ryan at all, if you know the show, you know, they say, oh, he's just a CIA analyst. But you're leaving out a big part of his backstory, which is that he's a Marine and he's a bad dude. Like, he can take dudes out, you know. He just doesn't want to. He has no desire to be a killer or anything like that, but when he has to, he can turn it on. So, you know, because I just never seen John Krasinski do anything like that before, but, you know, having seen him play a Navy SEAL in 13 hours, it was like, oh no, John Krasinski totally is the perfect guy for this role that I love so deeply. So he's killing it, and I just love it. Moving on, we have, The Boys. The Boys. Another Amazon Prime original. So good, you know, so good. It's a superhero show that really just flips the script on you. And so the superheroes are a bunch of corrupt jerks, and you have this squad of normies, humans, who band together to kill them all. and it's amazing. It's one of the best TV shows in a while. You know, like, all the shows I'm talking about are absolutely fantastic, you know, and they all also are some of the best shows in a good long while, but The Boys just takes it to a different level. Like, it's out of this world amazing, and I can't wait for the next, you know, 7 or 8 seasons. I mean, they haven't confirmed 7 or 8 seasons, but, like, I just want them to go for 7 or 8 seasons, because I just want so much more of this show. It's ridiculous. Carl Urban in it just kills as Billy Butcher. He's amazing. And Simon Pegg is in the mix, which is so hilarious because the comic book that the show's based on, one of the main characters was actually modeled after Simon Pegg, and Simon Pegg was going to play that role, but he just aged out, so he ends up playing that character's father, which is awesome. Everything about the show is just absolutely fantastic. The character of Starlight, I'm in love with her a little bit, low-key. Like, she is absolutely wonderful, you know, like, such an amazing character, and this, you know, super-powered woman who's just, like, the embodiment of badassery, but she's also, you know, she's also vulnerable and shy and like, so it's just this perfect rounded out human being, and it's just an amazing performance by an absolutely wonderful actress. Finally, of the Amazon Primes, we have The Tick. Now, Tick doesn't have anything new because Amazon Prime canceled it, so that's some BS. And I just want everybody who listens to my podcast to join the Save the Tick movement. Jump on the bandwagon. Help us. We got to save the Tick, because the Tick is absolutely one of just the coolest shows. And it's a remake of a show and an adaptation of a comic book. Whatever. It's awesome. Like, it's so good. I mean, like, it's so good. Like, it is so good. Like, if you haven't seen it, you should see it. You should get that. You should get the free 30-day subscription to Amazon Prime just to watch The Tick, and you could also watch these other shows I was talking about. But, like, you gotta see The Tick because it's so good, and we have to save The Tick. We have to bring it back because we need more of The Tick. You know, because this happened the first time they made the TV show. They got one season out of it with Patrick Warburton, and that show was amazing too. And this one is, like, even better somehow, which is, like, a mystery of the universe, of science, of whatever, and they canceled it, and it's like, why would you do that? Why? So we have to save the Tick. Please, we have got to save this show. So please, just, like, Anytime you're posting about the tick, hashtag save the tick. Do it. Finally, a Netflix original television show, Mindhunters. Absolutely incredible. Like, some of the best TV of the decade, for sure. It follows a pair of FBI agents who begin the process of creating the system by which FBI agents profile serial killers. So this is them and the BSU, the Behavioral Science Unit, which you will be familiar with, but know for, under the name BAU, the Behavioral Analysis Unit, from the very wildly popular long-running television series Criminal Minds. This is the origins of that unit from Criminal Minds. So these guys are literally creating that science that you see them utilizing in the show of Criminal Minds. And it's absolutely fascinating, but it's also extremely dark and really messed up. Like, because these guys, in order to develop this science, have to go around the country talking to convicted, locked up serial murderers and spree killers and so on and so forth to develop profiles on them so that they can then apply that to a crime scene that they come across. It's absolutely an amazing show. It's super dark, though, and really messed up because these guys, like, literally, they're talking to, like, the two, like, the character, most, some of the characters are fictional, but the serial killers that they're interviewing are not. And a lot of the conversations that these agents are having with the serial killers are taken word for word from the transcript and audio that was taken at the time of the interview. And so to hear some of the messed up stuff that these killers did could definitely keep you up nights, because it gets really messed up. Like, it's messed up. oh God, sorry, I've been talking all day, so I'm like, my throat's failing me. but yeah, it's incredible. It's just an incredible piece of television, you know, absolutely amazing. All right. Excuse me. Oh God. I'll take a quick break and we'll be back with the last segment, this new segment that I want to start doing occasionally for you guys. So stay tuned and we'll be right back if I can get my throat to heal. Alrighty, so this segment is a new thing that I want to start doing for you guys periodically, and it's about underrated actors, or just kind of unknown actors that are absolutely spectacular that you've probably seen in at least one or two places before, and you might have even seen them in like any or every television show you've ever watched. Some of these actors I call nomads. And some of them are just day players or, you know, like, just like, you know, guest star in one episode. And I will explain, oh God, my throat didn't heal yet. Hang on. Oh Lord. And I'll explain, what kind of actor each one is, when I talk about them. And when I say, you know, something like a day player or like just a, you know, one episode type of person, that's just, you know, they just do an episode of a TV show, move on to the next thing. A nomad is an actor that will jump on a TV show for a certain run of the show, usually not the entire thing, and then they will jump off of that show and go to another show. And sometimes they'll do, you know, just one episode here and there of a show, but they'll go, but, you know, a lot of stuff they'll do is, you know, they'll do one season of one show, two or three seasons of another show, to, you know, another season or two of a different show, and so on and so forth. So I'll explain, you know, what I would classify each of these actors are as we go along. I just wanted to do it because I started watching Castle again, and I was, and while I was watching, the reason I wanted to start watching it again was just because I wanted to rewatch Castle. But also, I saw the actor I'm going to be talking about in this particular in this inaugural segment in a TV show that was just on TV in the kitchen. And so I was like, oh, there he is. And he's one of my favorite actors, and he's so great that I was like, oh, well, you know what? Nobody knows who this guy is, but maybe if I can explain and, you know, we can... So that was the basic idea, concept behind me wanting to do this segment. These segments for you guys, just to kind of, you know, shed some light on, you know, kind of the backbone of the TV and film industry, you know, these just hardworking character actors who, they don't always get the spotlight, you know, sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't, and it, to me, is a little bit criminal that some of these guys, you know, that some of these wonderful actors, you don't know who they are. I mean, like, you may know their face, but you don't know their name. So that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to just kind of bring you into the world a little bit and kind of be a light to shine in the darkness, if you will, of obscurity or unknownness. Anyway, let's actually start the segment. So the first actor I wanted to talk about is a guy called Michael Mosley. Now, he's really great. You may know him from some stuff, you might not. And so for this guy, I decided I wanted to pick two things that he's done that are my two favorite things that he's done. And the reason I wanted to pick these two specific ones is because, they're not only my favorite things that this particular actor's done, but they're so diametrically opposed from each other in terms of the work that he's doing. So I just thought that would be really interesting. So the first time I saw him was in Castle, and he plays a character that when you meet him is known as Jerry Tyson. And what's going on is Castle and Beckett are investigating these murders that look like they have the same modus operandi, or M.O., of a serial murderer called the Triple Killer. And the operating procedure of this particular serial killer is that he'll pick three blondes, kill them all in the same week in a very specific way with a very specific type of rope, and he will pose them hands clasped over their chest or belly in as if they were lying in a coffin. And Jerry Tyson, we meet him as the cellmate or prison mate of this of the guy that they suspect to be the Triple Killer. And well, spoiler alert, he was playing a con, and he's actually the real Triple Killer. And he manipulated this guy to pose as the Triple Killer in order to, or 3XK, in order to get himself released from prison. And it works. He gets out of prison, and he goes on a bit of a spree. So over the course of three seasons, he's in four episodes that are all incredibly intense and just four of the best episodes of that show, but also just four really amazing pieces of television as well. And his performance is so spot on, because he has to go from the scared, not tough guy who's in prison to just this diabolical, cold-blooded, nothing, you know, no remorse, hardcore killer. And he has to do it literally like that. And he pulls it off to perfection. And it's just so impressive when you can see an actor who who can just completely shift the entire paradigm, just their entire character just goes, you know, right out the window, and this new one is what comes in. And Michael Mosley is just really, really good at playing all kinds of different kinds of characters. So for him to just switch characters like that in a moment, is not, like, if you check out the rest of his work, not surprising at all, because that's just how good he is. The other project of his that he did, that my other favorite thing of his that he's done, is a TV show called Sirens that they did about two seasons of, and he was the lead character. And the show is about these three EMTs, emergency medical technicians, driving around in their ambulance, you know, hanging out at the station. And it's a comedy, but it's also got, you know, legit medical stuff going on, legit, you know, stuff like that. And the show was created by Dennis Leary. So, you know, if you ever saw Rescue Me, it's got that kind of a vibe, that Rescue Me vibe, only it's a little bit more comedy-oriented than Rescue Me was. So it's just, you know, it's really funny. And it's unfortunate that the show got canceled because it was so good and so enjoyable. If you get a chance, I definitely recommend checking it out because it's just a lot of fun. But, you know, like I said, completely diametrically opposite of Jerry Tyson and the triple killer, you know, this character in Sirens, who's just, you know, he's a guy who likes jelly donuts and, you know, just bullshitting with his fellow EMTs while they're on the job and stuff like that. So, it's just great, you know, it's just awesome, because he's not like the character from Castle at all. He's just totally different. And that's the kind of thing that really is interesting. You know, I love it when actors kind of refuse to get typecast, so they, you know, are constantly looking for something new, something exciting, and that's something that Michael Mosley is really good at. He's got a very diverse and unique filmography that I definitely recommend diving into, because he's just great. So, you know, like, for instance, the Castle episodes, if you just go on, like, IMDb or something like that, and you just, you know, look up the specific episodes he's in Castle, check those out. Check out Sirens. Check out all of his stuff, because he's a really great actor, and he deserves your recognition of his work. he's great, so check him out. Anyway, that's going to be the show for tonight. Thank you so much for listening. I'm sorry you had to suffer through my voice and my throat crapping out on me a little bit there. I've been talking a lot all day long, literally since 9 o'clock this morning. So my throat's a little thrashed. So thanks for bearing with me. goodness. So yeah, thank you so much for listening, for suffering through with me. Please check out The Morning Show with Heath. He's going to finish up his Game of Thrones review of the final season, which is going to be really great, so you're going to want to check that out. And check out our stuff across all the different social media platforms that are out there at Manga Me Players. Thanks again so much for stopping by for a nightcap, and you have yourself a great night, a great day, great afternoon, great morning. Have a great week, have a great month, have a great rest of the year, have a great life. All right, good night.